Here we are.
Here we are. We're recording.
This is a special moment. Would you like to share what the special moment is, Ellie?
Here, I'm writing my last name, Ellie Whiteman. Yeah, I mean, we had a baby a week, 2 weeks. What is time? I don't even know. Honestly, in the past 2.5 weeks.
Almost 3 weeks, really.
Almost 3 weeks.
Actually, yeah, 3 weeks as of tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Wednesday is when my water broke. That's true.
Yeah, they still don't know what we're talking about. Although I think since you just said the water broke, that'll give it away.
I did. I said we had a baby. I said it.
Oh, I don't know where I was. Here I am.
Yeah, we had a baby. Well, my water broke 3 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah, like 3 weeks ago. So we're here to tell the birth story. We're here to announce to the world that we had a baby. When I was pregnant, I really enjoyed listening to birth stories. And so I was like, well, why don't we do that? So here we are.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, where would you like to begin?
Well, I have some handy dandy notes on the side here. The first question that I have on the side is how you felt when you found out you were pregnant. And if you had any problems during pregnancy, so we can give people a little bit of a background, but we could also give them your perspective because, yeah, your perspective is important too.
Sure. Well, you want to start?
Sure. So how I felt when I found out I was pregnant. I think I felt shocked, excited, relieved. I think I had a lot of fears going into like conceiving, and I thought we were going to have challenges, and we didn't have any challenges conceiving. Like it was like bada beam, bada boom, done.
Although to be fair, you also did a lot of prep, right?
Yes.
Like you worked with a specialist.
Yes.
On your cycle, eliminating pain from your cycle, changing
yeah.
your diet.
Yeah.
And then they also advised us on the best times to try to conceive.
Yes.
And we had a little marathon for 3 days going, and it turns out it worked.
Yep.
You worked with a specialist for a year just to make sure like your body and everything was in order.
Yeah, for sure. That's very true. Yeah, there was a lot of prep for the actual event. I don't know why this analogy is coming to me, but like the Olympics, like people like, you know, do so much prep for this, like, you know, half hour, 5 minute, whatever act. Yes.
Maybe more like Thanksgiving. Well, no, I mean, with the birth, that is quite an Olympic feat. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which we'll get to.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it really was. Yeah. So, I mean, I felt really relieved because I feel like I had this story going into conception that there was like something wrong and that there would be like a problem. Mm-hmm. It's saying trying to reconnect, stable connection. Did that come up for you? Hopefully that's okay.
Yeah, but I know I'm just got Riverside, but it said even if it disconnects, it still keeps recording here and then it'll upload each of ours. So I think we should be good.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we'll keep this in there. Maybe this is a little, can I get some type of credit from Riverside? From true? So let's see.
Yeah, maybe you could. But yeah, so I think it was kind of like a moment for me of like, really trusting myself and trusting the process and like, yeah, like kind of being like God, the universe like has got me. I don't have to. Yeah. Like I can just kind of like lean into trust here. So anyway, that's how I felt when I got pregnant and when we got pregnant. How did you feel when you found out?
I felt probably like, oh my gosh, this thing is happening. And then, you know, I feel like as a woman, you probably tend to listen to more stories on Instagram. And as a guy, at least not all men, but I think at least how I operate, I'm kind of along for the ride, right? I'm more the type that's going, okay, we're getting the house in order, got to get rooms set and like things organized. And I had to have trust that you were doing your research on your end and that you would inform me of things that I needed to be informed of. And yeah, so I think there's an element of just finding out a lot of these just different phases and things that happen. Because my perspective is when we're younger, I think we just hear people go, oh, okay, somebody had a kid or they're pregnant. And you really don't realize, and I was going to say until you're going through it, but perhaps just until you're older, like the preciousness of life. Because even once you're pregnant, then there's an element of, okay, well, there's a certain period of time, probably until you really start to inform people. And, you know, we can talk about that, because probably around the, I think maybe the 12 week mark or just at the end of that first trimester, we had told some people, and then that evening, you started to experience some bleeding and other things. And it's like, oh my gosh, is this a miscarriage or what's going on? And then we had the midwife and we were able to reference that, which I'm sure we could talk about that, because that's completely different than just a typical hospital birth. And yeah, so I think there's this preciousness of life, and there's realizing that something could kind of go awry at any moment. And it really is this being in different forms or development that you're taking care of. And you really don't know what's going on, but you know, things are happening. So I think for me, in terms of finding out, it was just like a woohoo, that's right, we did it once, and that's great. And I know not everyone has that experience, and I'm sure if there's people listening who have challenges, yeah. You know, I have a lot of compassion, because, you know, it takes two people and there's certain things that happen at different ages. So I'm really grateful that we had the experience that we had. And I also see people that even among the challenges, there's lots of opportunity, lots of support that I think is developing and becoming available. So I think that's wonderful. But in terms of our journey, we're both very fertile, apparently. And yeah, I think it's wonderful and exciting. And yeah, I could go on and on. So I'm going to let you, what's next?
No, I love what you shared. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and like, I like what you're saying about the preciousness of life and all of it. Because yeah, we kept it like to ourselves for, yeah, I guess, you know, like almost the whole first trimester. And then, yeah. And then towards the end of the first trimester is when I had some bleeding, which is actually way more common than people realize, is like you like some like women will just like bleed throughout the pregnancy. Like I've heard stories of women like literally having like what is almost like a period throughout the whole pregnancy, which is like frightening if you don't know that happens sometimes. I ended up having a subchorionic hemorrhage. We ended up going to the ER just to make sure what was happening, which I don't know the exact specifics of, but we didn't know. Like, we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know if it was a miscarriage. We didn't know. So, yeah, I think it can, yeah, just like the preciousness of it all. And, yeah, there are so many miscarriages. I think it's like 1 out of 3. Like, I don't quote me on the statistic, but it's like a lot of people go through it, you know, and I don't think it's talked about enough. And yeah, just like, oh, Dad. hello. My dad just came in. But yeah, so I think it can feel, I think it could probably feel lonely, whatever side you're on. Yeah, and I think the fears are natural. I think in the age of social media, which is what we're all floating in, it can seem like people, number one, just get pregnant, which is not the case for a ton of people. I mean, there's so many women that have challenges that it's just like easy, smooth sailing, all of it. Like, yeah, I think what we're going to try and do today, part of what my intention is to share like more of the full picture of what pregnancy and labor can look like so that there's more perspective on it all.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And, you know, I think in terms of my perspective is during the pregnancy, right? Everything leading up to the baby being born is things that really stood out to me, right? Because we chose a home birth.
Yes.
And that was new for me, but your family has a history of that. And I have to say that was one of the best investments I think we've made, because we had a midwife, a doula, there was a midwife's assistant as well. So you really feel this team supporting you, and then they're supporting you throughout the journey where you can message at any time, even when things come up. And they're so experienced that to me, it's a sense of reassurance and safety and guidance. And
definitely
at the same time, the doctor's visits, right, were probably an hour, maybe some of them an hour and a half with the midwife. And to me, I think a lot of people, you know, I was talking to my barber today that we had our baby, and he was saying how they worked with someone, and then when it was actually time for the birth, it wasn't their shift or they weren't on call. And right. So somebody else completely different delivered the baby. And so I think in terms of care, right, because I think sometimes health insurance covers it, health shares support it. But yeah, I think just having the midwife and the doula were very, very helpful. And I enjoyed going to the appointments, and I was fascinated to see that a lot of men were not joining their wife for their appointments. And I get that people have work and things like that. But I guess in my perspective, I mean, I think we both have our own businesses, so we're more in control of our schedules. But if people can, I think it's really nice to have the both of you there, because whether you know it or not, your wife is having a whole bunch of emotions and different things, and there's nausea and all different experiences. And it's helpful to have someone to share that with. And so I think another part of this is that we had our relationship therapist, who we've worked with for maybe 5-6 years. I mean, I don't know what it is. And now it's just maintenance, but that was a new phase of life that she was joining us. And so that was really helpful to work through things, because it's almost as though you're not a different being, but another side of you really, really comes out that is different. And so it creates a different dynamic in the relationship, probably for the both of us. And yeah, I just think it's so important to have as much support as possible, especially if you don't have a lot of support. And I say this phrase all the time. People might hate me if I say it, but I remember Judge Judy episode, this person, multiple kids, and Judge Judy just looked and said, well, how about you only have as many kids as you can afford? And yeah, have as many kids as you can afford and have as much support as you can afford. Because to me, I'm the type of person that I love as much support as possible. So if anyone's listening, I think, do not be afraid to invest in support, because it'll help you operate at your best. It'll help your significant other operate at their best. And it's going to make for a much smoother experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And first trimester was, I think, harder for me than any other time of the pregnancy, even third trimester, where it was this like beautiful big belly of baby. Like first trimester, I think my emotions were all over the place. And I was also kind of like, I felt myself really going inwards and felt very introverted and didn't want to like share as much, and which I think created some challenges, because I think at different moments you kind of ushered me out of whatever. Not that it was bad that I was introverted. I think there's like a lot of women will react differently to pregnancy, but I've heard a lot of women like becoming more introverted once they become pregnant. And some women, I'm sure, like are like, no, let's just turn up the heat and, you know, go full blast on business. That wasn't my experience, at least.
That was not your experience at all. I remember, before getting pregnant, you were like, you know what? I see all these women online. This is going to be my most profitable time. I'm going to be really going at business and doing all these things. And nope, life had a different experience to deliver.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, I think you were more, you know, there's a difference between being more to yourself and introverted versus trying to process everything at a level of one. And there was an element where that was happening. So I would advise, and this is why I say having as much support as possible is useful, because we had actually taken a break from the relationship therapist. Yeah. And then we just said, okay, yeah, no, this isn't going to work. We actually need a third party to just help us talk things out.
Yeah.
Especially when someone is trying to operate at a level of one. But what I would love to just share with people is when this happens, because you don't know what the experience of pregnancy is going to be, it's important to just think about, what does each person really do?
Yeah.
Because I don't think the pregnancy itself is overwhelming. It's almost as though you're dealing with nausea and other things, and so you're resting more. And you
need hormonal changes.
Hormonal changes. You need healing time for things. And so before you know it, I'm thinking of, oh gosh, we got to figure out dinner and dishes and all these other things. And not that I'm incapable of doing those things. Those just weren't my top priorities previously, right? Right. It was other things. So in a sense, just recognize what both people really do as their roles in the relationship, because in a sense, someone's retiring from their role during different phases.
At least on some level.
Least on some level, or at least not to the level that it was or the frequency. So there's just things like that to navigate.
Right.
And I think when, you know, you're not feeling well and you have historically made the meals, and if we didn't have meal prep, it's like, okay, not only is this role not happening, but then we're both hungry and we're trying to, you know, navigate these things. And so there's just a dynamic shift that I think is important to consider ahead of time that I hadn't thought of.
Totally. Totally. And like basic human needs, like eating and like, yeah,
sleeping
and different things, like all that changes throughout pregnancy and throughout, you know, giving birth and the fourth trimester, which is what we're in right now. That's what they call, like, you know, the 3 months post giving birth is the fourth trimester.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is like part of it all is, yeah, having some of those basic needs there, that if you're not operating at your full capacity, like there's some support there, which we've been very lucky. I know we're jumping around a little bit, which is fine. I mean, we've been very lucky. My parents have supported us in a multitude of ways. And one of the ways is my mom has cooked us like so much good.
Freezers are full.
Yes. And like you know, she did that throughout the third trimester. Come to think of it, like we should start first trimester next time so that we have freezer stuff ready to go. But like, yeah, my mom really like and my dad like both stepped up in tremendous ways where they're like with us right now for a few weeks, helping with the baby and helping with food. And yeah, so it doesn't always have to be like paid labor, although paid is great. Like having a really good birth team is really important, but like what people in your family do you trust to have your back, to be able to step up in particular ways? Who wants to step up in particular ways? You know, it's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea to want to be there, you know, whereas like my mom's in heaven. She's like having so much fun taking care of our baby. And not that I'm sleeping all day. I'm definitely a part of it. But like if I need a nap, you know, my mom's been amazing and cooking us meals and different things. So yeah, it's like, the value of having your basic needs met, I think, is underrated in the whole pregnancy, birth, postpartum process.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a couple things that are really important to share is, one, we had talked about some prep stuff, or, you know, I probably say some things. And because you had that mindset, right, of, no, I'm going to be great and I'm, you know, I'm doing all the work, but then all of a sudden it kind of hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
There wasn't necessarily the prep or the support that we could have had. So it's nice to see now, right, as we would look at having a second child.
Yeah.
Let's actually prep for that first one.
First trimester. For that, literally the first trimester.
Yeah, for even the first trimester, because I think there's an element where you are so committed to the way that you want things to happen, where it's like, no, we aren't going to prep because I'm going to be good. And that wasn't exactly how things played out.
Right.
But the other piece that I want to share is definitely choose the right support, because I talked to someone the other day who has who invited their parent to help, and they found that they're having to take care of their parent who was there attempting to help.
Oh no.
And so you want to really have the right people, right? Like, so this person is nursing and pumping and doing all these different things. And they thought they were going to have their parent there to help cook meals and help, but they're actually the one that is cooking the meals and trying to help. So you want
that sounds like hell.
So you want to make sure that you choose the right people that are a good fit for the support that you want. And family is super, super helpful. And yeah, just making sure that you do have the right fit, especially if you're choosing family to help you.
Totally. And we like, it's not like we haven't had certain moments of challenge come up with my parents, but we've been able to navigate it, I feel like, fairly smoothly, and be able to talk about the challenges just like you would when you have a relationship, you know, when you're in a long-term committed relationship. And I'm sure my mom would be fine me talking about it, because we literally did a whole episode of me and my mom's relationship and how it's shifted and changed throughout time. So yeah, I think having the right support is critical. And I mean, as we get into telling the birth story, like, the whole birth team made the whole experience just really an amazing experience. I mean, it's funny, like, I feel like what I really felt after giving birth is just such gratitude for the team that we had, like, and for you, because mm-hmm. I think it could have gone very differently without the team that we had and without the support that we had. And so, yeah, I think the support is critical. I think if there's one point we're really driving home here in this first part is having support. And I mean, this can translate into business as well, is I think people do try and go at it alone. And why? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to try and figure something out. Even if you're a seasoned entrepreneur, if you're seasoned, even if you've given birth before, it's like, why not have an amazing support system? And and like for me, stretching into that receiving and to know that I can just receive and be held and be supported, like, yeah, I think that's that's been a huge lesson as well, is to just allow that in. And even in, like, during the first trimester, when I felt like I was kind of a cocoon a little bit, you having the emotional intelligence that you have, we're like, this isn't going to work if you're not going to be open, you know? And like, you really challenged me to actually share what I was moving through, because I was, yeah, I think, I don't know if it was like depressive, like, I don't think I had depression, but I think I kind of like, again, cocooned into myself, before, like, actually sharing is the medicine, sharing whatever it is that you're moving through. The emotions itself aren't the problem. It's not actually sharing them and being open with what you're moving through that's the problem. You know?
Yeah. Well, I always think, I remember I had a client, he referred to it as an emotional smoothie. It's just like all these emotions and I think probably concerns or worrisome thoughts just about like right. What's happening and what that could mean, and really just keeping it to yourself. And there's, when we keep things to ourselves, we aren't actually able to put it out in the light to see it see it objectively when we share with others. And then two things that I just feel are important to share again. One is, have the advanced conversations. I know that's something that we did with your family. And I think that's what has helped things be really smooth. And when there are challenges, we even had advanced conversations on when a challenge arises, how are we going to address it or how do we approach it?
Yeah.
And I think that's been really useful. We really haven't had to do that much. I think maybe once or twice. And otherwise, it's been great. And the other part is, I think I'm thinking of that phrase I said before of only have as many kids as you can afford. And I think there's so many costs that come to pregnancy and kids that no matter what, it's going to add up. It's going to stretch you. And give yourself grace during that, because there's a difference between, you know, not having your shit in order, right? Versus, you know, really being intentional and trying to have things in order and you're making things work. That's more my intention behind that. So I wanted to just mention that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about, I feel like we should enter into the story. We could keep going if you want though.
No, we can totally talk about the birth. I feel like I'm hearing our baby and I'm wondering if my mom's going to come up and be like, feed the baby. So
feed the bird.
The actual birth, here we go. So, my water broke on Wednesday morning and I like didn't know if it was like officially the water breaking or not, 'cause I've never had my water broken before. And yeah, it was like, for me, I mean, I'll just share. It was like a trickle of water. Like, it wasn't like a gush, but it was like a trickle more than usual. So I was like, okay, there's a trickle of water here. I think this is my water breaking. And then for some women, it's like they lose their mucus plug, which is like this plug that is in the vagina that basically like prevents bacteria and like different things from entering into the placenta and the baby. I don't know when and even if I lost mine at any point, but it was just the water. And then we messaged the midwife, we messaged the doula, and we were like, hey, like, I took a picture of it. And they were like, yeah, like, this is most likely your water breaking. And we were like, okay, great. And then I feel like it was just kind of a really interesting experience of the contractions starting to come on, understanding timing the contractions and all of that, which we had never done before. And I was like, I felt pretty chill. Like, I felt like, okay, we can do this. We'd had the birth tub prepped. James had prepped the birth tub. We had like everything we needed. There's so much that you need at a home birth that.
Oh yeah, it is. It's ridiculous, but it's also necessary. So, you know, they say to put towels down, and before you know it, we're trying to find deals on towels because you need like 20 of them, but they say you only need 6, but really you need them for the floor. But here's what I found was really, really helpful. So who is ever having a home birth, I'm going to pass this on. Have plenty of shower curtains, because originally I tried getting some like plastic stuff that you could put down, because I didn't want our wood floors to get like messed up because you're going from the tub to the shower. And that was super slippery, even with the towels on it. So here's what I found was helpful. Have plenty of shower curtains. You can just put them down on the ground. Got to make sure they're the waterproof ones. And they do not slide around. Then you can just put towels on them. But also, they are good for the bed, because you can just put them under the sheets. And then you put a sheet on, then do another, put the sheet on. So that way you have a few layers. And it was easy to just have that on the floor of the room and then lay a whole bunch of towels down. And yes.
Yes, shower curtains.
Totally, a little aside, but to me, that's prep that I did not have and had to figure that out. So I'm just passing that along.
Yeah, my love. And like, shout out to you, like being willing to just, you know, go through all the like physical labor of putting everything together pre-home birth, like the tub and all these miscellaneous items that you need. And like, I'm just so grateful to you that you were on board and willing to do that. And I know in different moments you were like, F this, this is so annoying. I have to research one more freaking thing. I'm going to like, but you did it.
Yeah. Honestly, I just want to make a Google Doc and say, this is what we got. Here's how it worked. And so they can pass that along to people, because I don't want to research a water pump and what's the right hose. And then I'm looking at reviews and some people say hoses leak. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't need my time filled with this. Just tell me what to get and what to set up. But totally. I think what also made things helpful was that you also honored my own experience and what I wanted, because, you know, I think when we were talking to the doula, who we love, she's great.
She's amazing.
You know, when we were initially having some of our meetings and they're like, so do you want to get in the tub with Ellie? Ellie may really like you in the tub. And I'm the type of person that's going, no, there's probably going to be poop in the tub. I don't want any part of that. I'm happy to set up a chair and look from your angle, because I also don't want to see a bunch of blood, because I'm probably going to be passed out. So I think you did a really good job of honoring my experience and being able to go, yeah, I don't need James in the tub with me, but I do want him beside me.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think that was just really useful to have.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm not gonna.
Well, women don't do that. Some, I mean, we heard stories from the doula of, of so many of these women yelling at their husbands and over everything. And sometimes I think people we've talked about this, how people use the excuse of being pregnant to kind of be mean or just do the things that they
bitchy.
Want or to be bitchy or to not, or to even not eat healthy or other things like that.
Right.
And you actually do need to eat healthy while you're pregnant. That's actually really important. Also, it's natural that people are going to have moods and stuff like that, but it's not a reason to be unkind to somebody, you know?
Totally.
We were never that way.
Oh, well, that's good. I think I probably
took
had
practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's also why I'm with you.
So. For sure, my love. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's not like I was going to try and change you. Like, I don't think you're the type of, like, I think you're very in tune with a lot of things, and I think that also breeds a certain not sensitivity, because it's not you're a sensitive snowflake, but you're like, you're strong, but you also like you you're attuned to things. So if something smells a particular way, or, you know, there's certain things happening.
I have a heightened awareness.
You have a heightened awareness, right? Which means, yeah, and you're highly emotionally attuned and highly, I think, yeah, just attuned. So you're like, yeah, I don't want to freaking like be in this birth tub, which I was completely fine with. But yeah, I think, okay, anyway, so back to the birth story. So my water broke and I had been, you know, I'd never known what contractions had felt like. And as the day went by, it was just me and you pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Until we called the doula that evening. But up to that point, I think my parents were staying with us. So we were like, hey, we need you to leave the house, because that's something we'd already planned, that if I went into labor, my parents would leave. So we would have the home for ourselves. And so we were kind of getting that together. It was like the fastest day ever. Like, time has just felt like it's sped up exponentially. I mean, since having this baby and through the whole labor, I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, basically, oh, is my mom.
She's knocking on my door.
She's knocking on your door.
Let's see. Hang on.
Let's see.
I'm just going to mute myself here.
Okay.
This is great. It all gets to be a part of this episode. So,
is our baby awake?
She's hungry. Do you want to nurse her while we're on?
I mean, yeah, I don't think we'll, like, if I do that, I don't think you're going to see me.
Like, I won't see her, but I'll see you.
I mean, you'll see me. You won't see my nip and the boob and, right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you want to mute yourself, yeah, and then just turn it on when you come back?
Yeah, okay, perfect. Let's see. How do I mute?
Just hit the mic button. Wow, this is great. You guys are seeing all the behind the scenes or on the scenes stuff, and this is just a part of the process. So this is really exciting. We will let Ellie get settled in. Oh, I see some movement on camera. Let's see what we got going on here. Ellie's getting settled in.
Okay, are we good?
We're good.
You're not seeing any nipple action.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
But she is.
Yes, she is. Okay. Where were we? Okay. So this is hilarious. This is the first.
I was saying this is the, they get the behind the scenes or on the scenes stuff going on. This is real life.
You're keeping all of it in.
Why not?
So any hoodles, back to the birth story.
Are you talking about contractions?
Yeah, contractions. So I had, she's so cute. So I had, like, the contractions started speeding up and they were getting more and more intense. But I was breathing through them, and you were amazing. You were so helpful. I did some of them in like the shower. I was really practicing hypnobirthing with them so that I would be able to just, yeah, not need any medication or any like pain relief or anything. And they felt doable, you know, like I think they actually didn't hurt to the point where I felt like I couldn't handle it. Yeah. And also, something that someone says that's really smart is you can do anything for like a minute, and contractions don't really last longer than like a minute or a minute and a half. And so just that reminder is that it's not like constant pain. It's like in constant pressure and sensation. It's like you're able to move through anything if it's temporary and learn how to breathe through it, which was really my intention. Anyway, so birthed the first part of labor. That was great. Then we called the doula, right? At what point did we call the doula? Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, I think And a little aside, I think you called them, instead of contractions, you called them surges, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Some people just refer to them as pain, and it's really just a surge that's moving through your body.
Yes.
And you want to be with it rather than tensing up. You actually want to try and relax, I think. So this was new, because I think, you know, you see in movies and other things, people have a baby and all of a sudden they're just rushing everywhere and not everywhere, to the hospital, or someone's rushing to them. Right. And it really happened in stages. And so the midwife and the doula found the stages that you were in. And there are certain stages that the idea is that you can really handle those on your own and move through them. And they come at a certain time, or they check in. And so I believe the midwife perhaps came in the afternoon. And we talked to the doula, and then she ended up coming, was it around like 1 a.m.?
Yeah, like 12 or 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12 or 1. So you were already probably, I don't know, 15 hours, maybe 18 hours.
Into the labor, yeah.
Yeah.
It was early labor. I think it was like considered early labor. Yeah, because there's early labor, then there's active labor, then there's like the actual pushing stage. So yeah, I think we went through like early and active labor in those times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is when the doula stopped by, and everything was progressing great. And the way you were moving with everything was great. Okay, carry on. Yes.
And so then I think we'd invited the midwife back to check how dilated I was, because we were curious about that. And so she came back at like maybe, I don't know, it was like, maybe it was like 5 a.m. or so, Thursday morning. And I was, I think, 3.5 to, yeah, I was like 3.5. centimeters dilated, and which was like, I think, okay at that point, because we were like, okay, let's see, you know, we can just keep going here. And then a few hours had passed by, and the midwife came back again, I think, right, and it checked me again, and I was 4 centimeters dilated, which was not much progress in
those
hours. And at that point, my water had been broken for 24 hours. And that was, so then we started having a different conversation at that point.
Yeah. I believe the midwife actually came towards the evening of the Wednesday to check. And I think that's where you were 3.5.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I'm
like, you were either 3, 3.5. And then the doula came to support you around maybe 1 a.m. or so.
Okay.
And then the midwife would have gotten some sleep. And the midwife came back, I believe, towards the morning, maybe 5 a.m. or so. And they were working with you, and the doula and I were also helping get the tub ready. So I was trying to fill that up. That was a shit show, because
literally James was carrying hot pots of water.
Yeah. And I never anticipated that. No one informed me of that.
Poor guy.
And so a couple notes here.
James one was in labor as well. He was laboring in a different
physical
way.
Labor. That's right. Literal physical labor. And so anyway, I had the hose hooked up to the shower head. And so a couple notes here. One is you get a shower head adapter so you can have one for the shower head, and then an extra attachment to connect the hose, because you may want to shower as well, which we did. And we had a birth playlist for you and different music. And that was really powerful for you. And so anyway, I'm filling up the tub, and the hot water only lasts so long. So we have maybe less than half the tub, or only half the tub. And then you got to turn the water off, wait for things to heat up. And it usually takes half hour to an hour for the hot water tank to replenish. I look that up because I need to look it up in the moment. And it's like, oh, half hour to an hour. Oh, that's great. So then the doula said, okay, start putting put on like stock pots on the stove and heat up water. And I'm thinking boiling water in this tub, and isn't it going to like melt the plastic and we're going to have water all over? So turns out, do not use stainless steel pans. Use we had a green pan, I think it's called, but essentially you want a pan that heats up fast, because I just kept using the same little stock pot pan that was not huge, but it's the one that did the job, and it just heated up so fast that then we had to pour this in there. And so we get the tub filled up. That's taken like a half hour, 45 minutes to boil all this water. Then finally the hot water is replenished from the water tank. And so we can turn on that. So we get it going. We have the cover on this blow up tub, which kept sliding in. That was annoying. And then a little aside here, in the future, I would like to invest in on-demand hot water, because I'm not doing that again. So if any of you are able to do that, highly recommend on-demand hot water. I think it's a few $1,000s, but hey, you'll never run out of hot water when you're taking a shower and stuff.
Or filling up a birth tub.
Or you got a whole family taking showers. Yeah, or filling up a birth tub. So anyway, we fill up this whole tub. It's reaching the 24-hour mark.
Yes.
And your progression of dilation went from maybe it was 3 to 3.5 or 3.5 to 4. Yeah. And that's where the midwife said, you know, based on the rate that you're progressing and it being 24 hours, which once the 24-hour mark hits, the rate of infection can increase. And that's
because
where
my waters were already broken.
Because your waters were already broken. So I guess 24 hours after your water breaks, rate of infection increases. And then that's when they made the recommendation to do the hospital transfer.
But I want to be clear that it wasn't an emergency. That, you know, a lot of people are like, oh no, there was a hospital transfer. It was like a very calm discussion.
Yeah, it was a calm discussion. And honestly, the process took probably an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah,
I kind of cut you off, but that's when I think of a hospital transfer, I think of an ambulance. I didn't know where I was going. So we had the doula leading us in one car. We're in the middle car. And then the midwife is following us in case, you know, you never know, in case someone needs to pull over or something happens. So we got a whole little car train going, and we did the 15-minute ride to the hospital, and she had called ahead of time to coordinate which hospital and making sure like good people are on and everything like that.
Yeah, she was amazing.
And also, I know I'm cutting you off here, but please have bags prepared ahead of time. I love Ellie. However, she was very adamant that it was going to be a home birth and we did not need bags packed.
Wrong-o.
This did not turn out to be true. And we spent about an hour packing bags. And I have to share, by this point of 24 hours, I canceled my calls and it felt like we were traveling in Disney World. My feet were so sore. Because I'm just going up and down the stairs in the hot water, trying to make sure you're okay. So have a good pair of sneaks or something.
And have a hospital bag packed, because I was so adamant that we would never have a hospital transfer. And the truth is, they gave me the power to decide. It's not like my midwife was like, you have to go to the hospital right now. She's like, look, you've been up for 24 hours. You've been like moving through contractions for quite a while. It's not an emergency right now. And like, basically, it could become something more serious if, you know, like with the infection or Yeah, I don't actually know the other risks that were there, but yeah, I mean, at that point, I was like, oh, I just like want to sleep, but I didn't feel like I could do that at home in a way that would have felt relaxing, because the contractions were moving through. Who knows, like maybe next home birth, because I'd like to try for another home birth. Maybe the experience will be different. But at that point, getting an epidural sounded really good, you know, like getting some relief, getting some sleep, and just like having that, having like a nice long nap before moving into the next part of the labor. So that's what we decided to do. I had never in my mind thought I would have a hospital transfer, hence why I was like, no, we don't need anything. We don't need a hospital bag, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of humbling to be like, okay, this is the story right now, and it's okay. And it doesn't mean I did a bad job, and it doesn't mean anything. A lot of times first births for women, like, take a bit, you know, because your body is learning how to do something for the first time. So I think there was quite a bit of being humbled by the experience for me and letting the plan go and just like trusting the team. Because the midwife was like, yeah, I would like recommend to do this. And of course you can do what you want to do. And you know, we really trust our midwife and had built this relationship with her. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you
heard. She trusts her as well. She just said, yeah.
He said, yeah. You doing good? So we go to the hospital, and it was so amazing to have both the midwife and the doula there just like advocating for us, saying like, here's who's on call today that could be helpful to you. You know, there's like this midwife named Mary that they recommended, that was there. And I just felt very, very, again, supported by our birth team as we traveled to the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I would 100% again invest in a midwife and a doula, even if it is a hospital transfer, because once you reach the hospital, they treat everything as an emergency. Right. And they're basically like, hey, do this thing, or here's what we need to do. But you don't always feel the sense that you have a choice. And honestly, 90% of the time, I had no idea what they were talking about. So yeah, we actually had to turn to the doula and the midwife and be like, what does this mean? What are they talking about? And they understood your birth plan, your preferences, and pretty much everything was going the opposite of how you were hoping it would go. However, everything was safe and successful. So that's great. But without them, they would have just done whatever a hospital does. And a hospital has their interests first, over your interest.
Right.
And yeah, so we made our way to the hospital, and it was great that they had midwives at the hospital as well. And mm-hmm. ultimately you know, they got you in a room, and the midwife and the doula stayed with us. And then, you know, as time progressed, they alternated who was there so people could sleep and do what they needed to do. And they actually gave you time to still attempt, naturally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, I don't know how long it was. Hi, sweetie. I don't.
Oh, we got a little.
I promise she's okay.
We got a little ninja warrior over there.
Hi, sweetie. There you go.
So I would say they probably gave you 4 to 8 hours to really begin to, one, rest, but also see how things progress naturally. Mm-hmm. And I believe after that, it was still the same. I think it was four centimeters dilated?
See, time, I'm like, I don't know this. I this timeline is like totally not even in my brain. Like, I'm like, I have no idea what happened. But I know that at some point they gave me Pitocin and that really started increasing things. And I was, at every intervention, I think I was like, oh, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. But I also was like trusting again the process. I was trusting, you know, I had my birth team with me still, whether it was the doula or James or, you know, it was all, I was like just trusting it, you know? And yeah, and I think the Pitocin really started to speed things up. And I had heard some really like bad horror stories from Pitocin. So I think I had those in my mind. And so I was, yeah, there was some fear with all of that. But I also was like, we're at a hospital, you know, this is how they do things. You know, it's very rare for them not to use Pitocin with people.
Yeah, I would say once we got there, they gave you that time to, you know, try to do that naturally. And then when they checked 4 to 8 hours later, it was still is it 4 centimeters? Is that what it is?
I don't know if I dilated a little bit more.
No, I guess I'm asking, is it centimeters? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You did not.
You
it did not change. And then that's when they said, what is it? Not Pitocin, the other one.
Epidural.
Yeah, that's when they recommended doing the epidural. And then the midwife and the doula were on board for that as well. And after that, then you had dilated to 8. You had dilated to 8 centimeters after maybe 4 hours or so.
Okay, so that really sped things up. It's okay, sweetie. Here, I'm gonna move her to the other boob. One sec.
Okay, you can hit the little camera button. Yeah, there you go. Okay, we are back, and we're gonna leave you for a part two because we've already reached an hour, so that makes the most sense. But also, I have someone here to pick me up that I completely forgot about because we're getting stuff done today. But is there anything you want to say, Ellie, within a minute as we end this part one?
Part two coming very soon.
Perfect. We love you guys and more to come. We'll see you. Bye. Thanks for listening. And remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head on over to jmwhiteman.com so you can see how to bring your legacy and your leadership in business to the next level. I'll see you in the next episode.